Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning health briefing this week. Emergency medicine physician and associate chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bulmer, joins us. Good morning, doctor. What is going on with the cyclospora outbreak around here? Many cases. What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, I mean, I think we've kind of, I hate to say that it's going away, but I think that most of what we've seen around here in the Midwest, I think they've gotten somewhat of a handle on, but we're seeing more outbreaks. And the issue is with the cyclospora is that the lag time it takes to sort of trace these back to where they came from can take weeks. And, you know, what's being reported and analyzed at the state level is different from what the CDC is doing. And so there's a lag there. And so long story short, I think we're still seeing some cases, but I think we've seen a sort of a plateau around here. But unfortunately, in the East Coast, they're seeing a plethora. We're seeing it sort of starting to go up again. So they're seeing, I think there were 500 plus cases reported in North Carolina recently, and they're sort of tracing that back to, again, the same vegetables we keep talking about: lettuce, cilantro, parsley. So it's not going away. There's been multiple different outbreaks from different sources, it appears, but it takes a long time to find the source. And so that's the issue. So, you know, I think we just, for the rest of the summer and probably going forward, we just, you know, use good vigilance. I would not recommend that you abandon these vegetables, but I would just make sure that you're doing a good job of washing them if you have the opportunity to heat them. That we know that will destroy the parasite. But I think if you get to the point where you are sick, you know, the 24-hour flu still goes around. I will tell you, I've seen patients come in with diarrheal illnesses in the emergency department. Of course, everyone has this on their mind, but I've yet to see one of my patients that have tested positive for this. But it happens. We've seen some cases at our hospital, and it's certainly out there. So I would say if you're having a diarrheal illness that's going on more than, you know, 3 days, I would definitely contact your doctor and get tested. And so because the treatment is effective, and you can get better from it, but it's not something you want to get.
Yeah, and I guess to be safe for now, the advice is avoid the bagged greens, right?
I'd say that's a fair. That's where it's that lettuce that came from Taylor Farms in Mexico. That seemed to be a really big source, and that was, I think, what was responsible for a lot of what we saw around here in the Midwest. Michigan got hit particularly hard, but I think that was the source they assume was causing most of what we're seeing around here. So I think it makes sense to stay away from the bagged lettuce for now, and then anything else, any other vegetables you're eating, just make sure you wash them. I think it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't get rid of it, but it does reduce the chances. And I think that's that. But I would say that the chances of you getting are very low if you avoid the bag lettuce, wash your vegetables, and then if you have a chance to heat them, great. But I think that there's so many benefits from these vegetables and these fruits that I hate to say abandon them altogether, because otherwise we're going to be having people have another digestive issue that we don't want to see.
Also in the news, peptides. Before we get into what's going on with peptides, for people who don't know, these are used widely now, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think, you know, unfortunately with the press, I think there may be people associating peptides with being sort of an illegitimate drug or something along those lines. These are not. I mean, I think a great example is GLP-1. So the P in GLP stands for peptide. So peptides are these sort of small chains of amino acids that have been proven to have, in some cases, not all of them, but in some cases have been proven to have remarkable abilities to help the human body with certain disease states or perhaps in weight loss, obviously with GLP-1s, longevity, tissue repair, inflammation, and even neuroprotection. So a lot of these peptides have not been studied extensively and are not ready for primetime use. They haven't really been studied extensively in the human body yet. And that's where I think they're getting this sort of bad connotation, because I think that, you know, you're starting to see these peptides being offered in med spas and not going through the appropriate channels like we've seen with the GLP-1s, that they were developed and they're FDA approved, regulated, and obviously considered to be very safe. But there are peptides out there that probably have some promise, have shown some promise in early studies, but they are not ready for prime time, and unfortunately they're getting into human bodies without being, you know, regulated, without being properly studied, and I think that's the fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So FDA looking at all this, aren't they?
Yeah, so the FDA is looking at it, but unfortunately the FDA by itself is not powered or resourced well enough to sort of provide the oversight that's necessary. And so it goes to the state level, and the states are highly variable. So, mm-hmm. I think the common scenario is that we're seeing a lot of these in med spas where you have, licensed practitioners, nurse practitioners, physicians that are offering these. Some of these are legitimate. Some of these are legitimate peptides, and they are going through the appropriate channels, but a lot of them are not. And I think that's where we're seeing the real issue, where a patient walks into a nice looking polished medical spa and they think that this is a person who knows what they're doing, they're licensed, and they're offering me this peptide, and the assumption is just being made that, well, if they're offering this to me and they think this is going to work, I'm going to do this. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, you need to know, where did that, first of all, who's prescribing it? Mm-hmm. Where is this coming from, right? Where is it being manufactured? Where is it being compounded? Is there any evidence that this particular peptide is going to help me and for my condition? What is that evidence? And I think those are the, and then, obviously the safety concern is it, do we know that it's been studied in humans? And if it hasn't, I'm not sure that I want to have that in my body if it hasn't been studied. And those mm-hmm. are the questions that patients need to ask when they're mm-hmm. if they're considering taking a peptide, and need to understand what are the risks and what am I really getting myself into here, because I think making that blank assumption that this is safe because it's a nice place with a nice person who's given me this peptide and says it's going to work for me, I think that we need to be careful about making that assumption.
Yeah, you can't just think of them as supplements like a vitamin. There's more to
Correct.
It than that, for sure. We'll Absolutely. Get a break in here now, and then we'll talk about the causes of heart attacks in women that people may be unaware of, and also the latest on the keto diet. This week's Monday Morning Health News continues now with Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emergency medicine physician and associate chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Let's talk about heart attacks, especially heart attacks in women, and how the symptoms can be a little different than in men. We kind of know that, but also now this new study saying that the cause of heart attacks in people under 65, especially women, caused by factors other than the normal ones. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I the classic teaching and what I learned in med school and when I trained in emergency medicine many years ago is that all heart attacks are started by these plaques that build up in our coronary arteries and propelled by high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, and those plaques get bigger and bigger, and then they finally rupture because they become unstable, and that's what causes the heart attack. And so that's the classic teaching, but Mayo looked at this, and they specifically looked at patients that are 65 and under, and they found that that explanation is a great explanation for about 75% of men under 65 and under, but only 47% of those type of heart attacks in women. So more than half of heart attacks are being caused by another cause. And what they're finding that a lot of women actually have that are in that younger age group, 65 and under, is what's called SCAD, or which is spontaneous coronary artery dissection. And women are about six times more likely to have that type of a cause of a heart attack compared to the traditional cause. And so what SCAD is that dissection of the wall. So we heard about this recently with the aortic dissection, with the senator who had passed away from that. This is sort of a similar pathophysiology, but you're talking about the coronary artery, where for whatever reason the internal wall of the coronary artery becomes weak and the blood flow starts to dissect through that wall and causes the blood vessel to collapse, and that's what causes the heart attack. And so when we see a woman, let's say a good example would be a 45 year old woman who's fit, has no chronic medical problems, doesn't really have any risk factors, having a heart attack. Well, then I think we need to start thinking about this sort of the SCAD as opposed to it being the traditional cause, which the treatments are different. So I think what's important to understand is from my perspective as an emergency room physician, that I still need to make the diagnosis, right? I still need to get the EKG. I still need to get the blood tests. And then once I make that diagnosis, the treatment going forward may be a little bit different for this patient. So I'll call the cardiologist. They're probably going to want to do an angiogram and see what's causing their heart attack, but the treatment's going to be different. So classically, you know, and the person having the plaque rupture, they're going to get a stent. They're going to be put on aspirin and Plavix and other medications to stabilize their heart. Whereas a woman, the woman I described in that scenario, shouldn't get that stent. That actually may make things worse for their condition. So the treatment's going to be more medical management. So there's definitely nuanced, and I think it's important to understand this so we aren't just sort of putting our blinders on and going forward treating heart attacks same no matter what the cause is. So there is definitely nuances to how we treat these different types of heart attacks. So it's important to know, and I think we've seen this, and I've started to see patients that are I think we're becoming more aware of this, and now I'm seeing patients that have had heart attacks in their past, and they're sort of surprised to see, wow, you had a heart attack, you don't look like the classic person that's had a heart attack, and then they've actually had SCAD as a cause of the heart attack. So it's certainly important for us all to understand that they're involved in the care of heart patients.
In any way a woman would know she has a condition like this? Is there some kind of test?
No, I mean, the only way to know is when you actually have it. So, I mean, there are certain things that can maybe make it more likely to happen. So stressors like a severe anemia or infections may sort of make you a little bit more predisposed to having it. But it likely has something to do with the female hormones and how they affect our bodies. And it may be just different for certain women than others, and that makes them more prone to having this. But there's no blood test or screening test to know whether or not you're likely to have this or not. So it makes it very important for any woman that's having chest pain or something that doesn't feel right to get it checked out. You know, oftentimes, as I tell my patients, there are dozens of things that can cause chest pain, but there are five things that we need to know whether you have or not right now and here in the emergency room. And if something's not feeling right, you're having chest pain, you're feeling short of breath, something doesn't feel right, it's important. Even if you are the healthiest of health specimens, that, you know, avid runner, if something's not feeling right in your chest, you should get it checked out right away.
Yeah, that's good advice for men and women. It's Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bob.